Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
FSN, it's about what's next. Well, it was last week was a momentous week. Gold and silver both shattered their 200-day moving averages. And even for the most ignorant technical investor, such as myself, I know that that is a big, big indicator. And here to talk about it, none other than Andrew Hoffman for our Monday morning discussion. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Doing good. So that's a biggie, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing is with technical analysis that, I mean, years ago, I kind of gave up on it because markets have been so rigged, particularly gold and silver markets. And, of course, the cartel actually likes to use the technicals against you, against traders to make them think gold's breaking out, and then they hit it. The problem is the longer term you go with charts, the more valuable they are. I mean, you can manipulate a short-term chart, not a longer-term one. Now, 200-day moving average is not the longest term possible, of course, but it is a big deal because we have not been above the 200-day moving averages in gold and silver for a year. Basically, you know, the attacks that have been well-documented from last year started in February, and it's been a real slog to get back here. It's a big deal, but more importantly, if you look at the really long charts, the ones that no cartel on the planet could impact, they have never been more bullish ever. In fact, we put out Miles Franklin today. Bill Holton wrote an article called This Is It, and It's Powerful. He's showing a monthly chart going back decades, and gold has never been more oversold ever. In fact, I wrote an article on January 2nd, just a month ago, said charts even we can appreciate, which was essentially the same thing, showing the MACD for both gold and silver at more oversold levels than both the bottom in 2008 and even the bottom in 1980. So you combine that with the fundamentals, and hey, look, this morning alone, as we predicted, the Indian government is already discussing getting rid of its draconian regulations against buying gold. You combine all these things, and it's hard to believe we're not going to have a major, major move up in the coming months and years.
Amazing what can happen in an election year, even in India, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look how it all started here. It all started in basically the end of 2012, just before the election. Gold and silver were breaking out for good reason. You know, the fiscal cliff, the no budget. Re-electing Obama with his socialist policies, but starting there, that's when they started capping. That's when we now found out from this whistleblower that they were rigging the unemployment reports for the election year, and they're already posturing now for the upcoming election later this year with the delaying the Obamacare mandate, etc. But the fact is, you know, you can only put things off for so long. And, you know, all this stuff about, well, election year this, election year that. Yes, but you can't hold back the fundamentals forever.
Yeah, no doubt. And the fundamentals are all looking pretty dire, aren't they?
I mean, we were talking before this call about the things that are going on in the world. I mean, I used to, for the past, let's say, 6 months, markets were calmer and quieter, care of all this money printing. So I could focus on bigger picture things. But now as I call them, horrible headlines, there's so many of them, I just can't avoid talking about them all. I mean, look at today alone. On Friday, Japan reported a 20% drop in their December machine orders. And then today they reported GDP was up only 0.2% for the last quarter after 0.4% the quarter before that. Remember, we're talking about barely above zero, and this is after a year of Abenomics. And now the Nikkei is falling. And his approval rating's an all-time low. And, oh, yeah, the Japanese CPI hit a five-year high this last month. And real wages have been falling for 20 straight months. So if that doesn't show you how dire the situation is just in Japan and what they're going to do going forward. Then you have China, where they're reporting their lowest PMI numbers, manufacturing and services, in ever. We know that their economy is slowing dramatically and their real estate bubble is popping, and the government just last week had to bail out at least one company. So as it turns out, we just learned that in January, the Chinese government printed more money, 3 times more money than China and the U.S. combined. So you're seeing slowing economies worldwide, and I haven't even talked about Europe and the United States, while the money printing is exploding. And then things like this in India, where you're going to have the government saying, all right, we were wrong, and we're going to let you buy gold as much as you want.
That's pretty ironic. Hey, what about what's going on with Bitcoin? It figures, I don't know if you noticed this on Kitco, but under their...
a Bitcoin converter. Yeah.
Yeah. Just when they got it up, wouldn't you know, huh?
Yeah. For a precious metals company to start acting like they're a Bitcoin company, or trying to purport it, doesn't make sense to me. But look, we at Miles Franklin have spoken about Bitcoin probably more than anyone, because we want people to understand, not just to attack it, but to understand the concept of it. I mean, look, it's trying to be an alternative platform to money. I get that. And yes, I've even predicted that the demand for anything that's not fiat currency may well soar. But the problem is with Bitcoins is they don't have any intrinsic value at all. And as we're learning in spades this week, and it's one of the articles I wrote today, it'll be out later today, called Store of Value. They are not only vulnerable to attack by hackers and governments, as we're seeing, but they're also not fungible, because all Bitcoins are not trading at different prices. And I'm not talking about the gold trading different price in India because they won't let you buy it and there's a black market, or the paper versus the physical. I'm talking about the different exchanges have much different prices. And as we're seeing, as Mt. Gox, which has been the largest Bitcoin exchange, for the last 2 or 3 years, is falling apart right now because of issues with hackers that they, some people say it's fraud. They say it's just their protocol has been compromised and they're fixing it. I mean, we're seeing prices at $310 a coin at Mt. Gox and $620 at one exchange and $650 at another. The fact is, I don't care what's going on at Mt. Gox. There is no way that the prices should be different of these coins. And if some people say, well, they're trading this low because people think Mt. Gox might go bankrupt, and therefore they would rather have fiat currency than the coins. Well, voila, that's just proving that the Bitcoins probably have less intrinsic value than even the paper fiat money. So the point is, this is a big event for those in the burgeoning world of Bitcoin that are believing, well, maybe it'll be a substitute for gold and silver. No, it may have some purpose. Utilitarian purpose as people try to find alternative platforms for making transactions. But for a store of value, you will never, ever, certainly not in our lifetimes, beat the historical precedence of physical gold and silver.
And we had this discussion many times. A store of value is the key. Once upon a time, when the dollar was a warehouse receipt for gold that was purportedly on deposit in banks and the U.S. Treasury, the dollar was a store of value. Then come FDR, and I don't want to use the confiscation order because that is incorrect. Gold was not confiscated. They didn't come to your door and say, give us your gold. It was expropriated. Okay. Big difference there. You were given money for it. Okay. Then the link was broken, and then it wasn't a warehouse receipt any longer. And over time, the store of value of a dollar diminished. So, that is the key distinction of what money is. And the fact is that as much as Bitcoin might be a currency, it is not money. And you can read that in my book, Forget Wall Street, Go for the Gold and Silver Too. But all paper can be a currency, but it can never be money unless it is a warehouse receipt. And, you go back to the history of money when jewelers, goldsmiths would hold your gold for you in their safes and they'd give you a receipt. That could be money in theory, but eventually they would be wise asses and they'd give more receipts than specie, than money or gold, metal, silver than they had on hand. And then you would have a loss of confidence. And that's what banks eventually do. And then they go bankrupt. And there's another word that you should look up if you want to find out the real meaning of it. But not to burden you or bore you with ancient history, because it's not going to be ancient much longer. You'll get to find out about it. But hey, what about these great GDP numbers that Japan's putting out, huh? That they're printing.
That's
really
right.
Wonderful, huh?
You mentioned it before, 0.25% last quarter. And that was after a year of Abenomics. And in Europe, they just put out basically the same number, 0.3%.
Yeah.
And Germany and Italy were less than that. Germany, the great engine of Europe, was 0.1%. Of course, when you see numbers like 0.3% and 0.2%, of course they're massaged so that they're not negative.
They're fraudulent. The fact is,
and then, of course, there's the inflation numbers, which are rigged everywhere. So the point is, you know, we've been in a real recession worldwide for years. I mean, again, in China, we're talking about a pricking of a real estate bubble, the greatest credit bubble ever. We're talking about an actual PMI manufacturing number below 50, which means contracting. And yet they are still purporting 7.7% GDP growth. I mean, it's all lies. The whole world is in an actual recession and has been. Some people would argue based on the fraudulent inflation numbers back to the turn of the century, but definitely since 2008. And it's only getting worse. The debt is much higher than 2008. The unemployment is much higher. The fudging of the data is much higher.
You know what it is, Andy?
The money printing is higher.
You know what it is, Andy?
Tell me.
It's a world of lies.
So there's your title.
Yeah. It's a world of lies. And you know, if they treated the inflation rate honestly, you not only would you not have any positive growth, you would have substantial negative growth. Who knows what? You know, let's just say that John Williams, our friend at shadowstats.com, is a real pessimist and he overstates inflation double, okay, or triple, okay, that inflation is only 1.5% or 2%. You know, there goes all your growth, and it's still negative, okay, that he's triply a, you know, a pessimist. You know, you're still looking that there's 2%, 2.5% inflation. All of your growth is wiped out. So you have zero growth, right?
Yeah. And of course, the Fed has now promised zero interest rates. And again, this is a recovery, right? So, you know, things should be good. We should be raising rates. But they've now promised at least 2 to 3 more years of zero interest rates. Now, I don't know about you, because I don't have that much money left in cash. Everything I have pretty much is in physical gold and silver.
But just to pay taxes and rent and
also I have a wife who insists on having some cash, which, by the way, we keep in Schwab in a non-margin brokerage account, not in some bank, okay? Mm-hmm. But anyway, you and I and anyone who has a bank account got their 1099s or whatever with their annual interest income, which no one really pays attention to anymore. I mean, we literally, for all of our cash in the Schwab, I think we got $8 of interest last year. $8.
That's pretty
good.
In my
key bank, where I keep less than $1,000, I think I got 5 cents. And we're promised this for the next 3 years, this zero interest rates. Unless, of course, you know, which we can't borrow at, of course. That's what we get as interest. The banks are the only ones that can borrow at 0%. Everyone else is borrowing at higher rates than they've ever borrowed.
Yeah, so there you have it. And, you know, the truth will set you free, as they said in one of my favorite movies. I think it was Liar Liar, Jim Carrey, which could have been a training ground for all the banksters and all of our economic officials in the U.S. government, right?
As I call them, the evil troika of Washington, Wall Street, and the mainstream media.
And on that news, since it's Washington's birthday, or president's day, as they call it. Hey, do you have the gold numbers and the silver numbers handy, perchance?
For current prices?
Yeah, current prices.
Yeah, basically 1330 and 2185.
And it's pretty well been straight up since
New Year's.
Right, since New Year's. Amazing, huh? We haven't
part of it is because the bankers, aside from the just suppression scheme, this is what they do every year. They smash down gold and they push stocks up to their highs right at the end of the year so they can get their best bonuses and demoralize all the gold people. And then, you know, then you start anew and then all of a sudden the stock market starts falling. That's just more games for them to get bonuses.
Yeah. More games, more bonuses. On that note, don't forget Liberty Mastermind Symposium. It's later this week on February 21st, 22nd. You definitely want to be there, libertymastermind.us. Find Andy's writings over at milesfranklin.com. Sign up for his daily newsletter and those of his colleagues. And, of course, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Go there, click the link for libertymastermind.us and get our weekly newsletter. We got something coming up about the shortage of electrical generating capacity, home heating oil, fuels, and we're so close to having blackouts and brownouts in the Northeast. Andy, you can't even believe it, but we'll leave that for another day. We'll talk to you soon next week.
See you this week.
Yeah, we'll see you this week in Vegas. Be well. Bye.
Hi, it's Kerry Lutz. I recently decided to move my retirement account into physical precious metals to hedge against the coming times. If you want to move an existing retirement account into physical precious metals that you can hold in your hand tax-free, there's no company that can do it more quickly and efficiently than Regal Assets. It took them just 24 hours to open my new IRA account, and all I had to do was fill out one simple form. The best part is that Regal Assets does all the work for you. They cover the setup and administrative costs for 2013. If you're interested in making the same move I did, call 855-678-6620, 855-678-6620. That's 855-678-6620, or visit them at regalassets.com. You'll be glad you did, and tell them Kerry sent you.
Summer is almost over, and so far we've really lucked out. No hurricanes. And living in Florida here, I'm extremely grateful, but that could change tomorrow. And look, we're about to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Superstorm Hurricane Sandy. Do you remember that one? Not very many people in the Mid-Atlantic or the New York area region were prepared for it. But if you had PrepareWise emergency preparedness food, you were ready. If you'd prepared with PrepareWise, water, and the basics, some currency, and a means of self-defense, you weren't caught off guard. And if you weren't prepared then, please, please learn from it and get prepared now with PrepareWise emergency preparedness food. It always pays to prepare. Go to PrepareWise.com, use the code LUTZ, you'll get great savings. Depending on the size of your order, you're going to get a whole lot more. Be prepared. Don't be caught waiting for the government to come and save you. PrepareWise.com, use the code LUTZ, L-U-T-Z, be prepared.
The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network.